from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. California is in a housing crisis, and four propositions to address the issue have made it to the November ballot. As part of KQED's election 2018 coverage, we'll discuss two of them this morning. At 9, we take a closer look at Proposition 2, which would divert funds from the 2004 millionaire's tax, originally intended for mental health services, to finance more homeless housing. Proponents say that stable housing is a key part of mental health care, while opponents say the measure will only funnel money to developers. Then at 9:30, we debate Proposition 1, a $4 billion bond measure for affordable housing projects, including programs for veterans. We'll hear from both sides of Props 1 and 2 after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Housing is one of the biggest issues facing California. According to a report by the Public Policy Institute of California, home values and rents in California remain the most expensive in the nation, with 47% of Californians, including 61% of renters, reporting that the cost of housing places a financial strain on them and their families. This November, California voters will decide on several measures that address housing. This morning on Forum, we're going to take a closer look at two of these ballot measures, Propositions 1 and 2, and we're going to start with Proposition 2, which, if it passes, would divert some of the revenue made from taxes imposed on millionaires that currently funds mental health services to finance a $2 billion bond for homeless housing and mental health programs. And we're going to hear from both sides on that. But first, we're going to hear from our own Guy Maserati, who's here in studio with us, KQED's California Politics and Government Desk reporter. Welcome, Guy.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning to you. Well, we have to go back here, don't we, to Proposition 63 back in 2004 to understand?
That's right. That's really where it starts. I mean, this was money, a millionaire's tax that California voters approved back in 2004 to, you know, direct money towards mental health services. And lawmakers working under this idea of a housing-first approach, wanting to get supportive housing, the idea basically being if you house homeless Californians, it's much easier to provide services. They wanted to redirect the money to actually building supportive housing. That hit some legal roadblocks. That wasn't the intended original purpose of the money. So basically what Proposition 2 is asking is if California can go ahead with this idea of using some of this millionaire's tax money to actually build supportive housing.
And if you change a ballot initiative, you have to have public support.
Exactly. You have to go back to the voters once again. So that's what's kind of on the table. And I think what separates this from other bond measures, including the one we'll be talking about later on in Proposition 1, is the fact that this is not new money. This is not money that's going to be coming out of the general fund. It's money that already has an existing purpose, which is going to counties to fund mental health services. It's redirecting a portion of that to actually build supportive housing.
And if you, by the way, want to weigh in on Proposition 2, we are certainly inviting you to do that. In fact, before we meet the two who are taking different sides on that, let me give you the phone number and tell you how you can be part of this hour. You can join us by phone at 866-733-6786. We do welcome your involvement in the program, so feel free to participate. Again, it's 866-733-6786. You can also email your thoughts or your questions, forum@kqed.org, as we continue our election coverage, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Let me welcome Daryl Steinberg, who is now mayor of Sacramento, former president of the California State Senate, who is, well, very much behind this. Daryl Steinberg, good to have you back with us.
It's great to be with you, Michael. Thank you.
And we also have Gigi Crowder here in studio, executive director of the National Alliance on Mental Health for Contra Costa County. Welcome, Gigi Crowder.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you. And let me go, Mayor, to you first, Mayor Steinberg. Got to get used to calling you mayor rather than senator. Is this going to divert funds from mental health programs? Is it, in that sense, something that mental health programs have to worry about?
It really isn't. I mean, first of all, Proposition 63 is an ever-increasing source of money. It has risen from a beginning of $700 million a year to now about $2.2 billion. And on a cost-benefit analysis, plain and simple, to set aside $120 million a year to fund a $2 billion housing bond is more than well worth it, because as Guy said a moment ago, especially for the homeless mentally ill, who this proposition, I was the author of the proposition, co-sponsor, this was the reason we did Proposition 63. that services are vital, but services without supportive housing, people generally do not get better. It takes the combination of the two. And as you said a moment ago, housing is costly, and we don't have nearly enough of it, especially for people with such severe and real needs. And so the legislature passed this. It got caught up in court, and I'm confident the voters will say that the Housing First model, where you combine services and supportive housing, is actually a big step towards making our homeless problem in California much better.
And mentally ill and homeless, or providing homes for mentally ill, how do you see that working exactly?
Well, what Prop 63 will do, and the No Place Like Home Act, it'll provide $2 billion of funding to both the counties and the nonprofit housing developers to work with the mental health service providers. $2 billion, by the way, when you look at the way housing finance works, we tried this once before, Michael. We set aside $400 million in 2005, Governor Schwarzenegger, through executive order for housing. And what we found over time is it led to the production of thousands of units, and the money itself was matched on a 10-to-1 ratio, because this is just part of that finance package that allows us to build housing, not just for the homeless, mentally ill, but for working people and for people of limited means and other populations with special needs, including the homeless who are not severely mentally ill. And so this $2 billion could actually be leveraged to create $20 billion worth of housing investment. And anyone who lives in a major urban center of California or anywhere in California knows that homelessness is probably the biggest quality of life challenge we have. And housing is a key piece to making it better.
Daryl Steinberg, again, is the mayor of Sacramento, former president of the California State Senate, and Gigi Crowder here with us in studios, executive director of the National Alliance on Mental Health, Contra Costa County. Well, those of you who are opposed, Gigi, you're talking about this as the Bureaucrat and Develop Enrichment Act as opposed to the No Place Like Home. Why are you opposed?
I'm the executive director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, so versus health. And the illness part is the part that we feel often is overlooked. The individuals whose voice I represent are family members largely of individuals who live with very severe mental illnesses. And what winds up happening when decision makers are looking at taking any penny away from treatment services, they're overlooking the fact that many of these illnesses are very debilitating for the individuals. And the idea that you can take an individual who lives with a very debilitating illness that sometimes doesn't allow them the skill set to go into a housing situation without a lot of treatment services is asinine for us. We are family members that love our loved ones who are impacted with these debilitating illness. And we, some of us, have tried to utilize resources ourselves to house our loved ones. And sometimes we've been met with very tragic outcomes because the Housing First model assumes that a person who has a very debilitating illness, such as schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, would be able to be placed in a home and all their other issues are solved, when treatment is definitely something that we saw with the Mental Health Services Act that became promising, when individuals had full service partnerships and got housing in addition to treatment and wraparound services. Then we start seeing improvement, but most counties don't have enough slots to allow for the number of people who need that type of services. And so you're going to take some money away just as we're starting to see improvements in that area.
So let me see if I understand this correctly. You're saying this will create more homelessness. It will exacerbate the problem.
I have personally in my career helped find independent living situations with some supports, but not the type that we feel it needed. And the individuals have crashed out in less than two or three. The isolation, the not having the skill set to maintain housing, just as college kids. My son went off to college and called me a month and a half later and said, "Mom, I came home and the lights were out." I said, "Son, did you set up your PG&E? And he's like, "What? Oh, okay." We're talking about individuals with major thought disorders, and we're asking them to have the skill set to maintain housing. I've seen individuals decompensate greatly, not be able to express the fear because everyone around them is celebrating when they get the Section 8 vouchers. But they're terrified because we do not have programs that truly give the type of services. We in Contra Costa County, family members raised close to $1 million for housing for those who live with severe mental illness. But we knew how important it would be to have the appropriate treatment associated with it. And we've seen successful programs, housing models. But what's been put out here with Prop 2, for me, suggests that the biggest winners would be the housing developers, not those who live with severe mental illness.
Can I get you to respond to that, Mayor?
Sure, I can. First of all, I think it's important to point out that while Ms. Crowder, I believe it is, it represents NAMI Contra Costa County, that NAMI California, the statewide organization, strongly supports Proposition 2. And I want to explain the act a little bit because I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding. We seek to set aside a small portion of these revenues to create $2 billion worth of housing. Under the act, the vast majority of the remaining $2.2 billion will in fact continue to be spent on services. And of course, it's not housing alone that will help somebody with a severe mental illness who's been living on the streets for years reclaim their lives. It's the combination of the two. And you cannot have successful services for the people who are on the streets without supportive housing. So what we seek to do, without any new money to the taxpayer, is to provide both supportive housing and the services that are necessary to go with it.
Let me again, before we go back to Gigi Crowder, invite you, our listeners, to be part of this. We do want to hear from you and hear where you stand, but also any questions you might have. Toll-free number is 866-733-6786 or email us forum@kqed.org. What about, first of all, Gigi Crowder, the difference between the state and the national here? You're with the National Alliance on Mental Health with Contra Costa County, and the mayor said he's supported by the state.
And I'm not surprised. The state offices that are located in Sacramento said that they vetted this through most of the family members and their affiliates. So across the state, there's several affiliates. I have been receiving phone calls being very okay with listing my number as the number that those our California voters can call and get inquiries about why our organization would be taking the position when California, NAMI California, had not. And I said, because we're representing the voice of family members in a very intentional way, and we don't have any relationships with the bureaucracy that would persuade us not to do it this way.
So, and let me point this out and get your response to it. There is a little response coming forward. I mean, there's been a lot of endorsement of this in the Chronicle and the Bee, Press Democrat and so forth. And also, I think they have 98 million or so. Is that right, Guy, support on the pro side? And you have been kind of in the dark when it comes to money.
But I have not received one phone call where once I spilled out our position that the individual didn't better understand the initiative, the proposition, and then shift their thinking about it and make a decision that, hey, maybe I will go with Prop 2 when I now understand there was nothing in the proposition to address NIMBYism. There was nothing in the proposition to address what it really feels like for a family member with lived experience who has a loved one who they love dearly, who they would hate to see on the streets, but know sometimes it creates too dangerous a situation to have them live at home, so they end up on the streets. We also at NAMI Contra Costa County looked at the No Place Like Home initially and thought, oh, this would be great. But then when we didn't find what we felt like needed to be in there, we questioned, why does the state have to have these very expensive bonds when locally in most counties they have not utilized most of their funds? So DHCS released a report. So in the initial Prop 63, there was no oversight of the funds.
And could money come from other sources, Guy? I mean, that's been an argument with both of these propositions.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, Gigi brings up a really good point about NIMBYism and how that relates to this conversation around supportive housing. Often we've seen, you know, supportive housing projects be the ones that get the biggest opposition from neighborhood groups and the hardest to build. I should say last month the governor did sign a bill that will streamline development of supportive housing. And so it'll be interesting to see how that kind of plays with potential propositions to 2 funds. But yeah, you know, there's been concerns in the past about how the reserves have been spent from the Mental Health Services Act in counties. I would say anytime you're talking about a millionaire's tax, that's a very volatile fund. We've seen this, you know, funds from this tax go from $1 billion 1 year to $2 billion the next year. It can be hard for counties to budget for that and expect them to budget on a $2 billion revenue stream when it could be $1 billion the next year. But, you know, as Gigi said, the auditor did find that there were, a large number of reserves in a lot of counties for this funding.
Let's see what our listeners have to say or ask. You're going to say something very quickly, Gigi?
I was going to say something very quickly about the fact that in Walnut Creek right now, there is a individual that is willing and wanting to build a home, a residential treatment facility for those with severe mental illness. And yesterday, some of us spent time at our county board of supervisors arguing for having this happen when we had 600 petitioners from Walnut Creek incorporated area saying, no way. We do not want to have this housing built here for these individuals. Yet there are some studies that indicate when you build a housing, home values actually go up.
Can I get Daryl Sundberg on the NIMBY issue before I get our callers in here?
Well, of course. I mean, the NIMBY phenomena, of course, is very real. But it's not exclusive of the need for more resources to build more housing. I mean, we have to combat NIMBYism both through changes in state law, through local will. I appreciate what Ms. Crowder and NAMI Contra Costa County fought for the siting of this facility. But it also requires resources, and we don't have nearly enough. You know, I just want to make one point, if I may. Again, I authored this act back in 2004, and I can tell you that combating homelessness was one of the central motivations for why we did this. Now, Prop 63 has helped a lot of people. 80,000 or so of those full-service partnerships that Ms. Crowder's talked about, where people with the most severe illnesses have gotten the wraparound services that they need. But I can't say that the act or anything, frankly, has made enough of a dent on homelessness in California. And we need housing resources combined with services to help the thousands of people that are suffering. And this will help. Billions of dollars will help.
All right, let me get the callers on here. James, you're first up. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted some clarification. Is this to build just normal apartment-style housing to put people in, or is it building, like, housing and treatment facilities kind of together as, like, a full-service thing?
Yeah, can you help us clarify, Guy?
Yeah, sure. So this, I mean, supportive housing, basically, it's units that have those wraparound services. So this would be for, you know, residents who were formerly homeless or at risk of being homeless. And in this case, specifically to, you know, the, you know, residents or homeless Californians who have mental health issues. So it would be the services in supportive housing are on site. So these are counseling and, you know, addiction treatment that are kind of wrapping around the residents at the unit where they live.
And thank you for that question, James. Appreciate hearing from you. Let me hear now from Bradley in the city. Bradley, you're on.
Good morning. I wanted to know how will the housing be run. I mean, what's the administration on the housing? And, you know, I'm very concerned about supportive housing being diverted to senior clearance and, apartment clearancing in the city. It seems to me that we really need to make sure that this is there's a good oversight and a chance to make sure that it's the kind of supportive housing that really is supportive and not just used for some other ulterior motive.
Now, let me go to you on that, Mayor Steinberg. The Mental Health Services Act actually was criticized by the Little Hoover Commission, talking about lack of transparency. What are we to assure voters with on this as far as transparency or accountability?
Well, in the No Place Like Home initiative, I know they've built in even greater accountability, regular reporting about the number of units that are actually constructed and who's being helped. The way the act works is that the State Department of Housing and Community Development will allot money to the counties on a competitive basis when they actually can demonstrate that they're working with the nonprofit development community and the service providers to actually create housing projects. And the money will go through the counties to the nonprofits, and they will be required to report exactly how many people they're helping, how long those people were on the street prior to being housed and whether or not they've maintained their housing. And so I'm confident that learned some of the lessons from the challenges of Mental Health Services Act implementation, and that this money will be spent well.
Gigi Crowder, you look skeptical.
Yeah, because I worked in a county system for many years, and I was very, of course, like everyone else. As a matter of fact, my sons in 2004 was right there with me door to door getting the Mental Health Services Act, the petitions to lead to this, because I was very optimistic, having very connection to the individuals I worked at in a clubhouse type setting. And I waited to see who was going to be eligible for the full service partnerships. And I got let down many times with those that I thought were eligible. What happened, in my opinion, was there was a creaming. The nonprofit organizations got the funding, wanted to make sure it worked well, got individuals who somewhat fit the description, but those with the most severe mental illnesses often have things like arson on their background. They have criminal charges that preclude them. So they were not the individuals. And I'm an African-American woman, and I did all of a sudden, those who were on the list who were African-American and on that 20K list costing the county so much money because of repeat visits to the psychiatric facilities did not get into the housing. And so I was like, well, this should be an act that would target the communities that get their services in the most restrictive environments, like the criminal justice mental health system or psych emergency. And it didn't work out that way. I saw individuals with privilege and connections get the housing, and leaders from the so-called peer consumer movement get housing, to the point where some of them had jobs and they were paying $1,900 a month for housing because their salaries were high. That's not who I think of when I think of those with severe mental illness and taking them off of a street to get housing. I think of the individuals who've had a lot of brushes with the law because they have not had the services.
Let me try to get another caller in here while we have a moment or two. And that's you, Kelly. Join us. You're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to share that my brother has a mental illness, and I've spent the half year. I support Prop 2. I've spent half a year. He had a setback, he attempted suicide, and trying to get housing for him. It is critical to get housing for the mentally ill. They have such a lack of services that are able to support families and the mentally ill, as well as housing. And the housing and wraparound services that's proposed in Prop 2 is desperately needed. So I support it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that call. And do we have time, maybe barely, for another call? If you can be quick. Abisalem, you're on the air.
Hi. I do support Proposition 2, but housing without proper medical attention for this homeless is almost pointless.
What do we know on that score? We've got seconds left here. Daryl Steinberg, if you could be quick. Medical attention?
Absolutely. In other words, this is not housing alone. This is housing with supportive services. That's the requirement of the act. You have to provide the services, and by the way, you have to commit to the services for 20 years. So this is sound. It's a great investment for California and will help tens of thousands.
Well, now it's up to the voters. You want to say a final word, Gigi Crowder, with seconds?
Yes, I'm a housing advocate. I want housing for those with severe mental illness, but it needs to be done in a way that would produce the positive outcome. So family members should always be included when you're making decisions about what it would look like.
Thank you all.